Good morning. Welcome this morning.
And we're gathered together. I just trust the Lord
be used as that I can be used by the Lord this morning to share with you from His Word. We're going to be talking this morning about mission faith giving, and I'll be explaining that to you, and also bringing out some Bible verses and that. Let's start with a word of prayer. Father, thank you for this day. We thank you for this time we can be together praising you. We thank you for the worship team as they led us in prayer, in praise here together. Just be with us at this service and be with our hearts. And we just ask for your presence here in Jesus' name. Amen. Looking back over time, George Mueller was a man of great prayer, and I would just want to bring out a story of his that exemplifies faith in what he did and in his prayer. The story a lot of us know probably is one morning, well, he had a passion. George Mueller was from England. He had a passion for orphans, and he had At one time, he had 300 orphans in one home. And one morning, the head cook came to him and said, "George, there's no food in the orphanage here. We have no food for breakfast." And George went into the dining room where the 300 orphans were, and they were all waiting in line, and the plates, their bowls were there, and the mugs were there. And there was no food, and George opened with prayer, and he said, he prayed to God, and he thanked God for the food that he would provide for each one that morning. But that's not the story I wanted to share. That's one that a lot of us know. If you want to know that story, find a book in George Mueller's life, finish that one. But what I wanted to tell you, another time, right in the beginning of winter, they discovered the boiler to heat the orphanage was leaking. And this must have been a massive boiler, because it said that the heating bricks, the fire bricks around it, it would take like a whole day to remove them to discover why the boiler was leaking. And he realized that if the boiler couldn't be repaired, it'd be a long time to get one built and get it in there. Winter was coming, he had 300 orphans there. And it just was, if it's cold weather, he didn't know what to do with his 300 orphans. So he prayed to God, and this time he asked God to send a southern wind. In England, if the wind comes from the north, it is very cold. It brings down the cold Arctic air. But if it came from the south, it would be warm. And he prayed for two things, for a southern wind, and he prayed for workers that were diligent, that would stick to the job. And he was reflecting back to the Israelites when they came back out of captivity in Babylon and they rebuilt the walls of Jerusalem. He said, it says in the Bible that they stuck to it and they completed the walls around Jerusalem in 52 days, but they were diligent. And he said, he prayed that, to God, that the workers that came out would be diligent. And he scheduled repairs, and they were going to shut the boiler off on Wednesday, and they were going to repair it then, or else replace it, whatever they needed to do. They were going to look into it. And that week, a couple days before that, a cold northerly air came in, and it was really cold. And Wednesday morning, when they got up, the wind had changed, and it was from the south, and it was warmed up, and it was not extremely cold. And he thanked God for an answer to prayer. The workers came, they dismantled all the fire brick around the boiler, and they got to it, and they were looking at what needed repaired and what they needed to do. And that evening, about 8:30, the supervisor came on the job to see how his workers did all day, and he said, "Well, we see what's the matter. We'll come back tomorrow morning. We'll repair it." And the head foreman that was on the job said, "No," he said, "we want to work through the night. We want to get this finished," and which kind of surprised the supervisor. But He said, well, okay, you know, keep working. And the workers were diligent. They worked all night. By the next morning, they could put the fire bricks back on, and they could start the boiler again. They had it repaired. And he, George said, you know, another example to answered prayer. This morning, I'm not going to be preaching on prayer, but prayer has a lot to do with Mission Faith Giving. Prayer has a lot to do in all of our lives. In many ways, prayer, the power of prayer is so powerful. So as we, as Mission Faith Giving, and some of my stuff is going to be logistics, how our congregation handles finances, some of it's out of the Bible, how we prepare and worship God through giving. You know, trusting God with our finances, same way as George Mueller, he trusted in God to supply the needs for the orphans that he was in charge of and had a passion to take care of in England. So Mission Faith Giving is about missions. But looking at myself first, you know, what is God calling me to do? A couple weeks ago, we had mission conference with mission agencies sharing different opportunities that we could become part of. And, you know, God is not calling each one of us to go and do that, but God might be calling you to be a missionary where you would leave this area and go do that. He might also be calling you to be farther in the kingdom right here. You could be working. We heard about Lancaster Youth Intervention Center. You know, there's a need there. There's ministry there. There's all around us, our neighbors, our family, all around us, there's needs. But if he's calling you to be a missionary, then being obedient and fulfilling that. Maybe he's calling, if you're not being a missionary, maybe he's calling you to help support a missionary. And that's how our New Covenant functions for supporting our missionaries. We use the Mission Faith Giving avenue for that. First thing to do is pray about it. Like George did, he prayed to God and he anticipated answers. When you pray about it, God will answer your prayers. Study Scripture. God speaks through Scripture. You know, you can come to God in prayer and then read Scripture and just let this speak. God will speak, and he'll speak different ways. He'll speak to different people in different ways. You might read something, and someone else will read the same thing, and God will speak. And sharing time is really great when you can share what God has spoken to you through Scripture. But be in the Word. Read the Scripture. And then trust God to answer. As you're praying and seeking God, trust him to give you an answer to what you're praying about. And then be patient. Wait upon him. We're in Lancaster County. We want it now. Right, Brandon? The South does a little bit slower. They're more patient. I see patience there, but we are impatient. So wait upon God. We can just, we can pray about it. We can study Scripture. And we can wait to hear from him. My main scripture this morning is going to be from 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and 9. It's actually two chapters, but I couldn't pick out a couple verses that I wanted to read. It's less than 40 verses, so it won't be too long. But it's a lot in here on giving. It's a lot in here on attitude and on giving. And Mission Faith Giving is an aspect of our giving here. So I'm going to read 2 Corinthians 8, whole way through 9. Moreover, brethren, we make known to you the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia, that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded in the riches of their liberality. For I bear witness that according to their ability, yes, and beyond their ability, they were freely willing, imploring us with much urgency that we would receive the gift and the fellowship of the ministering to the saints. And not only as we had hoped, but they first gave themselves to the Lord, and then to us by the will of God. So we urge Titus that as he began, so he would also complete this grace in you as well. But as you abound in everything, in faith, in speech, in knowledge, in all diligence, and your love for us, see that you abound in this grace also. I speak not by commandment, but I am testing the sincerity of your love by the diligence of others. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that you through his poverty might become rich. And in this I give advice. It is to your advantage not only to be doing what you began and were desiring to do a year ago, but now you also must complete the doing of it, that as there was a readiness to desire it, so there also may be a completion out of what you have. For if there is first a willing mind, it is accepted according to what one has, and not according to what he does not have. For I do not mean that others should be eased and you burdened, but by an equality, that now at this time your abundance may supply their lack, that their abundance may also supply your lack, that there may be equality. Equality. As it is written, he who gathered much had nothing left over, and he who gathered little had no lack. But thanks be to God who puts the same earnest care for you into the heart of Titus, for he not only accepted the exhortation, but being diligent, he went to you of his own accord, and he have sent with him the brother whose praise is in the gospel throughout all the churches, and not only that, but who was also chosen by the churches to travel with us with this gift, which is administered by us to the glory of the Lord himself, and to show your ready mind, avoiding this, that anyone should blame us in this lavish gift, which is administered by us, providing honorable things, not only in the sight of the Lord, but also in the sight of men. And we have sent with them our brother, whom we have often proved diligent in many things, but now much more diligent, because of the great confidence which we have in you. If anyone inquires about Titus, he is my partner and fellow worker concerning you. Or if our brethren are inquired about, they are messengers of the churches, the glory of Christ. Therefore show to them and before the churches the proof of your love and our boasting on your behalf. Chapter 9. Now concerning the ministering to the saints, it is superfluous for me to write to you, for I know your willingness about which I boast of you to the Macedonians, that Achaia was ready a year ago, and your zeal has stirred up the majority. Yet I have sent the brethren, lest our boasting of you should be in vain in this respect, that as I said, you may be ready, lest if some Macedonian come with me and find you unprepared, we, not to mention you, should be ashamed of this confident boasting. Therefore, I thought it necessary to exhort the brethren to go to you ahead of time and prepare your generous gift beforehand, which you had previously promised, that it may be ready as a matter of generosity and not as grudgingly obligation. But this I say, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and he who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. So let each one give us as he purposes in his heart, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound towards you, that you, always having all sufficiency in all things, may have an abundance for every good work, as it is written. He has dispersed abroad, he has given to the poor, his righteousness endures forever. Now may he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food supply and multiply the seed you have sown with and increase the fruits of your righteousness. While you are enriched in everything for all liberality, which causes thanksgiving through us to God, for the administration of this service not only supplies the needs of the saints, but also is abounding through many thanksgiving to God. While through the proof of this ministry, they glorify God for the abundance, obedience of his confession to the gospel of Christ, and for your liberal sharing with them and all men, and by their prayer, you who long for you because of the exceeding grace of God in you, thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. There's a lot in there, and I'm going to cover a couple of high points, but I would really challenge you in the next weeks to read 2 Corinthians 8 and 9 and let God speak to it to you through the scripture there. On finances, there's a lot of base foundation, stewardship, you know, who owns everything, And that, and 3 weeks ago, Mark Slaball was here and kind of laid the foundation for what I'm bringing today. I'm bringing more of the stuff on mission, faith, giving. But Mark laid down knowing God has entrusted you to be a steward of what He owns. But as I come forward in here, looking at Paul's talking to the Corinthians and talking about they desired to give to the Jews in Jerusalem that were in need, and they desired to in a year to give that. Looking at that there, looking who should give, and we should all be giving, not just some or not, but everyone should. Verses 2-4, you know, the people in the challenges, the people in Macedonia were very poor, but they desired to give. They gave over and above their ability, and they gave freely, and they with urgency. They wanted to give because they heard there was a need, and all of us, everyone should give. And my challenge on mission faith giving is should be an individual thing. As a spouse, as a marriage, husband and wife, you know, you can give together there, but singles, youth, children, anyone that has money in their pocket, in their piggy banks, in the bank, can be giving to God. It's God owns it, but you can be giving. So challenge to think about that there. You know, is God asking you to give? In our spirit that we should be giving is we ought to give willingly, not grudgingly. And that's a challenge, you know, to me. Do I give, am I willingly and cheerfully? In chapter 9, verse 7, it talks about a cheerful heart. And do I give cheerfully and not grudgingly? How much should one be giving? Look at chapter 9, verse 7. It says, so let each one give as he purposes in his heart. You know, what's in your heart is, that's where you're asking God to put into your heart what to be giving. If you're single, a teen, a child, that's between you and God. That's pretty easy. But if you're married, then there's two of your hearts you got to work together. And as I challenge you, as a couple, pray together, read God's word together, and then share your heart one to another. And usually find out in most couples, there's one that's going to give give the whole farm away, and the other one wants to keep everything just in case. So you're going to have one here and one here. And this is a marriage, and you want to end up where God calls you, and you can give cheerfully and be united. You definitely want to be united in your giving. Finances can get in a relationship and be a wall between you. So purpose in your heart and do it together as a couple. Be generous in verse 5 and give liberally in verse 11. Talks about sacrificial giving, not merely our leftovers. In chapter 8, verse 3, it says, for I bear witness that according to their ability, yes, and beyond their ability, they were freely willing, imploring us with much urgency that we would receive the gift of the fellowship of the ministry to the saints. They gave sacrificially above their means. Same way as the widow's mite, when Jesus was with his disciples and the widow came in and she gave two mites, and the rest of the worshipers there in the synagogue, the Pharisees, and you know, they gave lots of money, but it was off their surplus. She gave sacrificially. How's that look today with us being in, you know, above some of the wealthiest in the world? You know, how can we give sacrificially? That's where we seek God to give. talking about our mission faith giving, it's different than a pledge. It's a promise that you work out between you and God. Mission faith giving is only between you and God. But a pledge, when a church has, they raise money for a certain project. Maybe they need $100,000 for a project they want to do, and they want everybody to pledge to see if they have enough money. If you pledge $1,000 in the next 6 months, then you're required to give that. It's a pledge is between you and a church, you and an organization. It's a horizontal. What our mission faith giving promise is, it's a promise. It's you seek God. It's only between you and God, and the church, our church, will never come to you and say, "Hey, you discern with God that to give this much, and you're not giving it. You know, where's that? That it's between you and God." If you're unable to give to it, go in prayer. Tell God, you know, the money's not here, but I feel like I should be giving this, and give Him your reasons. And as God speaks to you, as God accepts, if He accepts that, you know, you're free. We're not coming to ask you for any of that money. My goal is that your involvement in missions will be an essential part of your lifestyle. You know, God might call you to be a missionary. That's a lot of time put into that. That's a lifestyle. God might call you to support missionaries, and that's a lifestyle. That means some of the finances that God has blessed you with, you'll be giving to support ones that are on the field, not able to earn the financial support as they're on the field. Not everyone is called to leave their home and go to the mission field, but God uses each one in different ways. Being a part of reaching all people through missions is more than just financial support. It's also prayer support. So I do want to bring prayer in here. As you financially help missionaries, pray for them. You know, an idea I came upon this week, as you're preparing your offering on a Saturday night, maybe Sunday morning, and you're writing a check or you're getting the cash together to put in, at the same time you're doing that, pray for the missionaries it's going to support. Pray for the organizations. Pray for the church body. Lift it up in prayer as you're preparing that there. Giving financially demonstrates our love for one another. In Philippians 2, 1 and 4, talking about loving one another, it says, "Therefore, if there is any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection and mercy, fulfill my joy by being like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. Let each of you look out not only for his own interest, but also for the interest of others." If we love one another, we care and we want to help one another. And, you know, we can help in many ways. We can help by going to and helping in time, helping someone mulch around their place, helping someone around their home or on their vehicle. We can also help financially. If someone has bills, we can help through that. We can also help through prayer, through moral support, emotional support, through conversation. So loving one another is demonstrated in many ways. In Luke 6:38, it talks about give and it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over will be put into your bosom. For with the same measure that you use, it will be measured back to you. When you help somebody, give your all. Don't do it half-heartedly, but do it all. That's talking about, you know, a good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. And in the trade business, if you bought a bushel of wheat or something, you know, in the market, it could be fluffy or it could be shaken down. And a good merchant that gets people, customers come back, you know, he would press it down, give you a full measure, and you would come back to him, his shop again to buy. If you're cheating people, not giving your full, people will not trust you, and they will they could disrespect who you are then too. But loving one another is giving your all. Also, loving one another from Romans 12:9, it says, "Let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil. Abhor what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love. In honor, giving preference to one another, not lagging in diligent, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing steadfastly in prayer, distributing to the needs of the saints, given to hospitality." A lot of things in there in Romans 12 to do. And as you read that, just ask God how you can minister to others through that. Mission faith giving is, I've mentioned a couple times, I want to explain now. It's to support our NCMF's long-term missionaries. Okay, Mission Faith Giving was introduced here in 2010, 6.5 years ago, and we discerned the Mission Board and the Board of Elders and the congregation. We discerned to support our full-time long-term missionaries through Mission Faith Giving. It's to financially support them, and our missionaries tell us that being supported financially takes a burden off of them, and they can concentrate on the mission they're called to. I talked to other congregations. I talked to missionaries in other agencies, and they need to raise their own support. If they need if they need $50,000 a year, they need to go out and raise that maybe by going to 10 churches and getting a commitment from them churches. It takes a lot of time, but we discern to support our missionaries. So in the last 6.5 years, we have raised $510,000. That's from October 2010 through April this year. And that is all, that's 100% for our long-term missionaries. That gets divided out, that comes to $6,463 a month is what came in the last 6.5 years. Our long-term missionaries right now but right now to support our missionaries on a monthly basis, we need $8,435. And we're looking at what the average was. Well, back in 2010, starting out, we supported John and Juanita Groff with that there, and we supported John and Sarah Souter. And now we're supporting Lloyd and Mary Ellen Esch and their family with GTO in Thailand. And we're supporting Tyler Esch in Thailand, Anita Stahlsfuss at Wilderness Way, and Brandon and Jenny at Wilderness Way. Those are the missionaries we're supporting now, and we'll be needing $8,000 a month, which we're trusting, we're praying about it, we're trusting God to supply that. So as we support the missionaries, we use our Mission Faith Giving, the money that comes in through Mission Faith Giving. Before we move on that some more, I'd like to talk a little bit on general fund. We have a general fund which our general fund is budgeted to different committees. So our general fund, it supplies the lights here, the everything you see here has been bought or maintained by general fund. It also, all the committees here, some of it is budgeted to camp out, the care fund, the benevolence fund, the drama committee, the food, the hospitality, ladies fellowship, library, the mission committee, music ministry, Sunday school trustees, youth group, and then ministerial support for the leadership team here and our COT team. So our budget in a year's time is $335,000, which is part of the offering that we take in the morning is for general fund, church ministries and missions, and part of it is for Mission Faith Giving. It's kind of separated. where God leads you. Your first obligation. You're not obligated to give anything, but your first commitment should be to supporting your local church for furthering of God's kingdom through that. Then mission faith giving, if God's calling you to help with Matthew 28 of getting the spreading the gospel to all the world, you can do that by becoming a missionary or supporting it through finances. So as we have the budget amount and then our mission faith giving, what I wanted to say on there was we have a mission committee budget amount, which theirs is $70,000. And you're wondering, well, if the missionaries are supported by mission faith giving, what does the mission committee need another $70,000 for? And some of you, the mission committee, their budget, what they also support, the farm over in Ghana, Africa, the Fields of Hope. They support foreign missions, VS trips. They support repairs in the DR on the truck there for the mission. They support Door of Hope, Pennsylvania, the Christmas Project here, and Lancaster Youth Intervention Center, that comes down to the general fund, Love, Inc. A lot of you have helped with Love, Inc. We support money to them. New Horizons, also U.S. Missions, VS support. Short-term VSers are listed under here. Bible schools under here. Wilderness Way Girls Camp. We support the ministry out of here. We support Anita and the Weavers out of Mission Faith Giving, if that ties together for you. But they reach out in many ways in their support. So your offering is needed. It needed both places. Just wanted to stress the need for giving, but also seeking God for what He calls you to do. You know, when you pray to God and read Scripture and He lays on your heart to give something, you know what? How does that come about? And just some points here. As you pray to God, He may increase your income. Maybe you committed to God to give so much this month to missionaries, and maybe you're wondering how it's going to happen. But God might, maybe one week you get 5 extra hours at work, and it's like unexpected, and it's not in your budget. You don't need it for your budget stuff, and that God may supply it that way to missions. He also may decrease your expenses. Maybe your budget for car repairs, depends how new your car is. Maybe it's $1,000 a year, maybe it's $5,000 a year. Cars can cost a lot the older they get, but maybe you budget it and God decreases your expenses. He can make that car run another 25,000 miles without much cost, and maybe that frees up some money to give to missions. You seek God. Maybe He's asking you to sacrifice something. You know, what's some things that you do that you don't need to do? I think we all can eat a little less, but that's, you know, we could sacrifice some of our food budget. Not all, you just, I talk about myself, sorry. So, you know, God might increase your income, might decrease your expenses, He might challenge you to sacrifice where you can do with less. But your commitment to God, you know, pray and ask God what He wants you to give, then give as He has directed you. Just asking you to be sincere and seek God. Don't wait and see what's left to give, but give from your first fruits. You know, when we get our paycheck at the end of the week, I know there's bills to pay. We have bills to pay, and you pay your bills, and at the end everything's paid, you look down and see what's left. Oh, we have $6 left. I guess that's for mission faith giving. Or do you give from your first fruits, you know? If God leads you to give something and you commit to it and you desire to do that, if you want to give that to Him and wait and see how He will supply. Like George Mueller, you know, he prayed for food for them children, them orphanage that morning, not seeing any food in the whole orphan, but he waited to see what God did. Give regularly rather than sporadically. You know, when we commit to mission faith giving, I don't care what regular is, but don't just wait till you have money there to give. If you want to give weekly, that's great. If you want to give every other week, that works. If you want to give once a month, that's okay. If you want to give once a quarter, half a year, once a year, but give on a regular basis. And what you commit, give as God provides. So like I said before, this is a promise to God, not to the church. It's between you and God. So as looking at mission faith giving, I'd like to commit to a year, then reevaluate. Up until this point, we committed to 6 months and reevaluated. Just looking at doing it a year at a time, seems like time's flying faster. Every year we go on, it just seems to go faster and faster. So seek God's will, commit to Him, and a year from now, discern where God has you. You might be amazed how He led, how He has provided for you, and as you reevaluate it and recommit. Do not rob God. You know, everything we have is God's, and if we use it all up, we are robbing God. Malachi 3, 8 and 10, it says, "Will a man rob God? Yet you have robbed me. But you say, in what way have we robbed you? In tithes and offerings. You are cursed with a curse, for you have robbed me, even this whole nation. Bring all the tithes into the storehouse, that they may be food in my house. And try me now in this, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open for you the windows of heaven and pour out for you such blessings that there will not be room enough to store to receive it." So do not rob God of his what He owns, but give to Him give to God what He asks you to give. Missions is at the very heart of mission faith giving. And, you know, what is closer to God's heart than missions? God's desire is that the whole world would be saved. And from John 3:16, He says, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish but have everlasting life." He loves the whole world, and how can the whole world find out unless we take it to them? Romans 10:1. "Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved." You know, as Paul was praying to God that Israel may be saved, and God's desire is for the whole world to be saved, you know, what part can we have in that? We can be missionaries out spreading that gospel. We can be missionaries right where we live. We can be sharing with others. We can support those that are out full time. You know, what's God calling you to do? So, in conclusion here, "For I do not desire, brethren, that you should be ignorant of this mystery, lest ye should be wise in your own opinion, that blindness in part has happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles has come in." That's from Romans 11:25. Let me read that again. Romans 11:25. "For I do not desire, brethren, that you should be ignorant of this mystery, lest ye should be wise in your own opinion, that blindness in part has happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles has come in." You know, we're called to go into all the world and share with everyone. And the end times won't come till every tribe has heard about the salvation of Christ. And we can do that through prayer. We can do that through financial support. We can do that through time, through our lives. Christ died for the whole world. It isn't His will that any should perish. They need to be told of Christ's provision for their salvation. They cannot hear without a preacher, and the preachers must be sent. And the local church are the senders. We send out the preachers from here. We enable people to take the gospel around the world. We enable people to take the gospel to their neighbors. There's many ministries here that cost money too, and we enable that to happen. Sending means more than praying. It means providing financial support. So I trust that as you seek God's will, that you can just seek Him and discern on a commitment for mission faith giving. Talked a little bit about General Fund. General Fund continues to support our local church and ministries here. And mission faith giving supports our long-term missionaries. in your bulletin, and if you didn't get one, there's laying on the tables down here, is a mission, faith, giving, commitment. This is for you to fill in. It's for you to keep in your Bible, keep on your dresser, nightstand. But it just reemphasizes that it's between you and God. As you pray and God lays it on your heart, this helps, as God has put it on your heart, you can write it down here. Helps you remember what God laid on your heart, and it also brings a husband and wife together on one number. So you're not, no, I said this, no, I said that, no. So I'm just going to read this. As God enables me, I will express my faith and help to make disciples throughout the world by giving to the missionary support program of New Covenant Mennonite Fellowship. By faith, I will trust God to enable to meet for me to give and then put the amount that God lays on you each week or month. Just circle if that's weekly or monthly for the next year. I understand that this commitment is a promise between God and me and that I am expressing my trust in God for the resources to fulfill my commitment. The church will not demand payment at any time. Like I said, we're committed to supporting our missionaries. We need money, dollars for that there, but we're not going to come and ask for any of that. We're asking you to search God and see what he would desire. Second half of that paper I handed out, you will have to cut them apart. That is to turn into me. Your number stays the same for mission, faith, giving, and general fund. It's the same number. But if you don't have any envelopes, this is a multi-purpose form. Put your name there. If you need mission, faith, giving envelopes, now if you need general fund envelopes for the first time, if you never had an envelope and you need a first time one, just mark first time. If you need a resupply, yours that you, if you're getting low, just put resupply. Mission, faith, giving, if you want to commit to the supporting of our missionaries, you can put first time there, or if you have been supporting the last 6.5 years, and I really want to thank you again for the $500,000 that you have given through this. I'll thank you for the missionaries that were supported through that there. But if it's a resupply, put it there. Please return them to me in the next 2 weeks because I'd like to get them envelopes printed and ready to go for you so you can continue giving or start giving. Either put them in the collection basket, we'll pull them out when we take the offering, I'll gather them that way, or drop them in my drawer over in the resource room where the mailboxes are. So if you have questions on this, you can talk to me about the logistics. You can talk to the mission committee. There's 7 on that team, and they're just serving God in a marvelous way on discerning how he is calling to disperse the funds that come in and the needs that come in, how to minister in that way. Bow with me for a word of prayer. Father, thank you for being here this morning, and as we just seek your will and in what you would desire for us to return back to you, to be used to further your kingdom here at home and around the world. Just give us wisdom, we ask for the knowledge and the strength to go on, and as we just come before you, we ask that you may be honored and glorified through the obedience of our heart and our souls. We just pray us all in your name. Amen. Ask the chorister to come up and close the service.